I heard a story about an 83-year-old man who had lived his entire life as a bachelor. One day, this man announced that he was getting married. People were naturally excited for him, but they were more than a little surprised. 83 years is a long time. They couldn't help wondering, why was he marrying for the first time at the age of 83? Some wondered if he was marrying because he had finally met a woman who melted his heart. Well, no, that wasn't it. Some wondered if he was marrying this gal because she was a great cook. And he, even though he loved to eat, of course, no, that wasn't the reason why he was marrying her. A third person was bold enough to ask him if he was marrying her for her money. Now, that is pretty bold. And he says, no, he says, I don't need money. That's not why I'm marrying her. Well, what was his motive? People wondered. Why did he want to get married? It turned out he was marrying her because she still had her driver's license. I honestly don't know if that's a true story or not, but it does go to show that there are very many reasons why people choose to get married. Some do so, as you know, for romance. Some do it for security. Some might do it for a driver's license. I don't know. Some do it to combat loneliness. Some, I imagine, get married for very practical reasons. Some for survival. Maybe not so much today, but in the old days, you know, people sometimes did get married just so they can actually survive and carry on. Over the years, I've spoken several times on the topic of marriage. I've given messages on marriage builders. I've talked about marriage killers. I've talked about God's plan for marriage, permanence of marriage, God's standard for marriage, and maybe my favorite, building an R-rated marriage. By the way, R was for rewarding, okay? Of course, it could be rewarding in many different ways, but anyway, we'll leave it at that. Over the years, one thing I've seen... Joel, stop laughing. Over the years, one thing I've seemed to have missed is the basic question of why marriage in the first place? I mean, why is marriage good? And, you know, when we perform a wedding, we say it's honorable. And why? Why not stay single? Especially in today's day and age when everyone seems to be so independent and, you know, I don't need anybody and I can do it all myself and I'm the master of my own destiny. And why get married? One cynical person remarked, marriage is nature's way of keeping people from fighting with strangers. It's pretty sad, isn't it? Another one said, love is a dream, marriage is the alarm clock. That's pretty sad. With so much bad press on marriage, you know, it's no wonder that people wonder, why get married? Why tie yourself down? Why enter into a relationship that will have you bound to one person for the rest of your life? And honestly, that's a question that many people are asking, and they're seriously asking that. And many of them are not coming up with any good answers. Now, this morning, if you are, you know, if you're in a marriage and you're happy to be there, or if you're excited about one day maybe getting married, you know, this message might not have a whole lot for you, but it still has something, because as we talk about marriage and why marriage, you very well may get to see a glimpse of what marriage is meant to be. And if you are married, you might get a sense of, this is where I need to aim if I'm not there already. Why get married? The answer, as with most things about ourselves, begins with God. When God set out creating all things, you'll remember that everything that God created was good. The sun, the sky, the waters in the ocean, the land all around us, the trees and the shrubs and the moon and the stars and all the living creatures that God made just by His word, His spoken word, whether they were the birds in the air or the fish in the sea or all the different manner of animals on the ground. Scripture says that all were good. It began with God, and then God created man. God was really pleased with man. You could say that he was the pinnacle of God's creation, the apple of God's eye. Man was special. Man was made in the image of God. In other words, there was something about God that was reflected in man. In some ways, mankind was to reflect God. And while all the animals and all of nature was good, when God created man, God said that it was very good. There was just a little different emphasis there. Everything was good. God created mankind. It was very good. Everything was going along fine. And then we get to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." Every time God looked at his work, he was pleased. It was good. But the fact that Adam was alone was not a good thing. In fact, it was the first thing that we can say scripturally that was not good. And so you wonder, why wasn't it good? What made it not good? I mean, clearly there are lots of single people and they are happy. And you could be single and happy, that there's nothing wrong with that. So why was it not good that Adam was alone? And I think as we look at that question, we get our first clue as to why marriage. Why bother? And that is because we were made, or we were designed, you can say, for intimate relationship. When God created mankind, He hardwired us, if you will, for intimate relationship. Now, don't misunderstand me when I say that we were designed for intimate relationship. I'm not talking about the sexual relationship. That's important too, and often that's the first thing we think about. But intimacy is so much more than sexual union. And if I can just digress for a moment, I think this is one of the reasons why there are so many unsatisfied marriages out there. And maybe even in here, I don't know. Marriages that are founded, marriages that are based on sexual intimacy, they may have a whole lot of passion, which is a good thing, but they won't have holding power. It won't keep people together. Because marriages need emotional intimacy, not just sexual gratification. Which is also why premarital sex is so destructive. Not only is it a sin, which should be reason enough to avoid, but time and time again, premarital sex will create a relationship on a faulty foundation. You're building on unstable ground. It's also the same reason why sexual encounters outside of marriage are empty. They lack emotional intimacy. People hop from one relationship to another, and it feels good at first, but they always come up empty. And the point is that without emotional intimacy, physical intimacy will always come up short. And what marriage does, getting back to the point of marriage and why marriage, what marriage does is it creates an avenue or an atmosphere where emotional intimacy can be experienced. And in that context of heart-to-heart oneness, other kinds of intimacy can be enjoyed as well. God created marriage to provide a safe setting where two people can let their guard down, where they can relate to one another, where two people can understand one another and trust one another like no one else, where two people can have no hidden agendas. That's what intimacy is about. It's two people who know one another, who trust one another, who can be open with one another, who have nothing to hide, no hang-ups with each other. That's the kind of relationship that we were made for. That's the kind of relationship that so many people long for. It's part of our being. We want to know. We want to be known. We want to trust. We want to relate. And the reason why God made us with that desire is because that's the kind of relationship God wants to have with us. God wants to be intimately connected in your life, single or married. God wants to be intimately connected. He wants to know you. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to have nothing to hide between yourself and Him. He's not just looking for a casual relationship. He's looking for an intimate relationship with you, with me. Think of it this way. Imagine God sitting in heaven or standing or whatever He's doing. Imagine God in heaven. He's thinking to Himself. He's thinking to Himself, I want to create a being with whom I could really relate. These animals are great. You know, I love those frogs and those chickens. They're a little bit noisy and so on and so forth. But I want to create a being where I could really have a heart to heart with. Where I could really be one with, where I could really know and be known at their deepest level. I want to create a being who would trust me and who with whom I can have fellowship. Now, how am I going to do that? And let's see, he thought for about 1/1,000,000th of a second, and he came to the conclusion, I know, I'll create someone to teach him what a relationship is all about. And there was Eve. Adam, he was like, well, he was probably like most guys. He just wasn't getting it. He was busy working in the garden that, you know, God put him in. And he was focused on the task at hand, you know, very focused on what he's doing. He's merrily going along his business, tending to the garden that God made and watching the waters that flowed through the garden. And he was pleased and there wasn't a thing wrong and everything was going fine. And what does God do? God gives Adam the task of naming all the animals. And so God parades all the animals across Adam's path. And there they are, the two camels and there's the two elephants and there's the two giraffes and there's the two dogs and chasing those two cats. And well, I guess they weren't chasing them then. And two frogs and so on and so forth. And somewhere in the process, I expect Adam slowly clued in. Remember, it took him a while. He's looking at all these animals go by and at two of these and two of those and two of those, and it slowly clued into Adam that, you know, I'm missing something in my life. And God said, bingo, it's not good that you're alone. And slowly the light comes on in Adam's mind. And it's at that point that God creates Eve and brings her to him. And I can imagine Adam probably thinking to himself, now that's more like it. And so God created Eve and brought her to Adam. And I don't know if they had any kind of official ceremony or not, but basically God told them, introduced them to one another and told them to go start a family and go for it. And again, why? Why did God create this marriage relationship? Why couldn't God have just created Adam and created Eve without there being marriage? Why couldn't they just be friends? Why couldn't they be good friends? I believe God wanted them to learn what true intimacy was all about. And the way to do it was through two people here on earth. Marriage, I think, is God's training ground for intimacy. And as we learn intimacy with the person that we are married to, we can develop and understand what intimacy means when we think about God. Gary Thomas, the author of the book Sacred Marriage, he emphasizes several times that if you want to serve God, being single is great. If you want to reflect God, get married. Because he says that when you're married, it will expose all the shortcomings in your life. They'll all come to the surface. You can't just hide them anymore. And they become up front and real. And as we deal with that, then we can reflect God. And as we understand what trusting somebody and being open to somebody is all about, we can do the same with God. Marriage is a training ground for us to learn what intimacy and trust and oneness is all about, the very characteristics that God wants to have with us. If we can enjoy intimacy, oneness in our marriage, I think that perhaps it's a major step in understanding what intimacy is and enjoying intimacy and oneness with God. The challenge is that with all our talk of independence and I can do it myself, and we have a hard time being emotionally connected with someone else. And if we can't be connected with someone who we could see and touch, it becomes all the more difficult to be connected with God, who we can't see and touch. And so God hardwired us for intimacy. It's not good that man should be alone. God wasn't talking about just having company, somebody to sit down and, you know, make popcorn and watch a movie with. He's talking about somebody you could really relate to, somebody you can trust, somebody you could bear your soul to, somebody who knows you better than anybody else. That's the intimacy that God wants to create in marriage. And we have the opportunity in marriage to express that kind of intimacy that we so much need. Marriage is a good thing. It was created by God. It was created good. It was endorsed by Jesus when he performed his first miracle in Cana of Galilee. He turned water into wine. And it's a training ground for what intimacy is all about. With our spouse, yes, but also with God. Many times people have said that marriage is a triangle with the husband and wife and God at the top. And the closer we each come to God, the closer we come to one another. And you can just see the connection there. As husband and wife come to God, as they come closer together, they come closer to God. And as they come closer to God, they're coming closer together. Of course, I should also say that marriage isn't for everyone. I'm not suggesting that everybody needs to rush out and if you're not married, get married, or that single persons can't experience closeness with God. I'm sure they do and they can. God has a way of working things out and doing what needs to be done in our lives and teaching us all things. And there are many risks to marriage. One of the first things we say is that we should never go into marriage quickly or without giving lots of thought and prayer into it. It must be taken with extreme seriousness. But marriage does have a unique and God-honored role in shaping us to being the people that God wants us to be. And I just want to encourage you this morning, if you are married, look for ways to develop a connectedness, a oneness, an emotional intimacy with your spouse. It's more important than anything else. And if you're single, don't be afraid of marriage. Just because there's a lot of difficult marriages and a lot of collapsing marriages, don't be afraid. God created it. He created it good. And if we trust the Lord, if we honor God, if we put Him first, if we seek to grow in Him, our marriages will be strong and they will reflect God Himself. Let's pray. Father God, we just give You thanks this morning for bringing people together. Lord, Your word says that it was not good for man to be alone. And I pray, Father God, that You would just help us in our lives to honor You. Lord, where we may have failed in the past, Lord, I just pray that You would just take that failure, Lord, and bring healing and forgiveness, Lord. And I pray, Father God, for any for those who are married, Lord, that You would just create in them a desire for greater intimacy with one another. For those who are single, Lord, I pray that You would just bless them with Your own presence. And Lord, help us not to be afraid of marriage, but as You lead us, and only as You lead us, Lord, may we not be afraid to enter into this union, Lord, that You created as something that is good. But Lord, all things for the glory of God. And Lord, we just thank You for this. In Jesus' name, amen.